Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Janice Pinnell, for today, December 2nd, and our guest tonight is Kevin James Bennett. But before we speak with KJ, first I want to remind everyone that the calling number is 914-803-4399. Again, it's 914-803-4399. And I'm going to send it over to Denise. She has some beauty news.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. And hello, KJ.
Hey, that music is groovy, man. Let me tell you.
I know. We want to first, we'd like to thank Zena for joining us last week on the show with her Z palettes. And she's kindly giving us 4 Z palettes to give away. So if you're looking for a chance to be a winner, we're actually looking for 2 winners. So if you would like a chance to win, we need you to go out to the Beauty Talk blog, which is located at beautytalkwithillusions.blogspot.com. And I think she's giving away, I believe it's 2 of the, 2 of her latest, I believe, her latest palettes. So go check that blog post out and follow the directions exactly so that you can win 2 of the 4 Z palettes. Also, experience pro finish at the new artist exploration space at the Makeup Forever New York City studio. This event takes place Friday, December 7th through Monday, December 10th, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Book your appointment for your product registration. You can call 212-941-9337.
All right, I just wanted to let you know that the Z palette is 2 red palettes, and then it's 2 of the new palettes. So it's a total of 4 palettes, and we're looking for 2 winners.
I love me some Z palettes, baby. I got them all in my kit. I've got about 1, 2, 3. I think I carry about 5 or 6 all the time. I love them.
Wow. Love do you them. Have, do you have all? You don't have all the colors, do you?
Well, you know, no. I'm a basic black kind of guy. You know, it's like, you know,
oh,
pink
okay.
would be too op. Pink would be a little obvious. You know. And leopard's just not my style. It's like, you know, but I love them. I know it's starting already.
Right.
I love the new pro size because it actually fits more of the 35mm standard size eyeshadow and blush pans. I can get a lot more colors in there. So it's just, and they're really great. I just love it. I have my lipsticks in them. I it's just great. I buy the little pans empty, and I just put my lipsticks in them, and I just, it's a brilliant idea. And let me give a shout out to these Z palettes. Let me just tell you why
yeah,
they're
sure.
better than anything else on the market. The magnet in the bottom is strong mm-hmm. as all living hell. That's what makes
mm-hmm.
the difference. People don't seem to understand what the difference is. See, I travel for a living, and my kit is constantly being thrown around on planes.
Mm-hmm.
I check it. I don't like to deal with, like, going through security with my kit because they make me nuts. So what happens is my kit gets banged around a lot. If the magnet is not strong enough in the bottom of the palette, when it gets hit, what happens is the little pan bounces off the magnet. That's
mm-hmm.
when it shatters. See, people don't realize that's what happens. So the thing is, these magnets are so strong. I have not had one eyeshadow shatter in a Z palette, and I have traveled to Australia and back, and nothing's happened. So I
mm-hmm.
love me some Z palettes.
Yeah,
so that's what
I
said. That's one of the things that I said last week was that I like them because you can travel with them, and you don't have to be concerned about when you, you know, when you get your makeup kit back that, you know, the stuff has moved around or they're broke or anything like that. And that's one of the things I really love. So I'm glad you made that point again.
Okay, there you go. So now what do you want me to promote next? What do you want me to talk about next, guys? What are we all drinking tonight, by the way? I decided that I'm going to be spicy tonight, so I made myself a nice big Bloody Mary.
Oh,
well,
nice.
I just have a 16.9-ounce Deer Park water. How's that?
Well, okay, but you're not going to be as much fun as I am in an hour or so.
Oh, take a few sips, breathe, take a few more, and then we'll get started.
Oh, baby, I had one before we started. This is my second. Don't worry, we're fine.
Okay. Okay. Well, tonight's show is really supposed to be about, you know, holiday beauty and all that. But, of course, Kevin, if there's anything else on your mind, please do share.
Oh, no, holiday beauty is great because, you know what, there's so much going on right now that is so nice and so different. And I'm not gonna be a hater. I'm just going to be a stater, okay? Remember that all night. When I say something that sounds a little bit, you know, aggressive, it's like I'm stating, not hating. And, like, you know, it's just – but I am tired of the damn smoky eye. I'm like, tired.
So am I.
and this holiday season, we're seeing, like, this call back to, like, Hollywood glamour of the 40s, and we're seeing all these beautiful, like, slicky little wingtips on the and cat eyes and all this great-looking new stuff. And even the smoky eye got, like, a reboot. And, I mean, it's like there's variations now. They're a lot more exciting and a lot more fun.
Exactly.
Like, One thing that I just did a demo doing this when I was in Toronto at IMAX. I did a variation on the smoky eye. What I did was I took black gel liner and I used it as an eyeshadow base. You got to work really quick, guys. But let me tell you something. It was amazing. Just smudged in over the top, under the bottom, and then put metallic loose pigment over the top of it. And it was just so beautiful, because the thing is, you got that beautiful deep dark smoke, but you got this beautiful, like, glistening metallic pigment over the top of it. So what people don't understand is when you're at events in the holiday season, you're in different lighting. You're not outdoors. You're at parties at night. So the lighting is going to be lower. The lighting is not going to be very bright. So it's you can't be wearing matte black eyeshadow, matte black eye makeup. You need something that's got a little bit of sparkle, a little bit of life. So by doing this, you get the depth that you want. You get that beautiful, deep, rich, kind of like smoky eye that everybody loves. But it just adds this beautiful, soft interest to it, so that every now and again, when you lower your lid and you turn your head, you get this little glimmer of light. Also, it's nice if it's really easy, because all you have to do is do the black or even a navy or even a dark purple, whatever gel liner you want. You just do that. You start at the lash line. You smudge it up into the crease, and then just put the pigment over the top of it. That's it. You're done. Nothing else has to be done. No crease, no cutting corners, no doing anything. If you want to, put on a sparse pair of false eyelashes. And when I say sparse, it's because this is a really dramatic look.
Mm-hmm.
If you add a big-ass set of eyelashes, you're going to look like a drag queen.
Yep.
And not that I don't love a good drag queen, because, you know, it's like, hey, RuPaul's Drag Race is I live for that show. So it's like, but I mean, if you're coming out of the office, you know, and you're going to a party, you don't want to look that way.
Right.
No,
okay,
don't.
So I just went off on a huge tangent. Now, where do you want to go now?
Well, before we go anywhere else, let me say this. Back to the smoky eye a bit. Now, why do you think people, just in general, you know, whenever they're getting dressed up, everybody wants to do the smoky eye, or when they're making someone up who's getting dressed up, they want to do the smoky eye? Because I keep finding, and it really bothers me that, you know, everybody's doing the same exact thing. Like, no one is being creative. No one's taking the smoky eye and changing it up a little bit, whether it's for the holiday or any any time of the year. No one's like putting their own twist on. I mean, some people are, but for the, but the majority, they're not. They're not putting their twist on the smoky eye. They're just doing what they've seen done for forever. You know, black eye.
You want to know why? I mean, okay, those of you that are offended easily, please, you know, turn down the volume right now. Because people are lazy asses, that's why. It's like, you know, everybody is obsessed with this boudoir glamour look, and of course everybody wants to look like freaking Kim Kardashian. I could scream.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't love her, not, but I warned you, baby, no Tino shade tonight.
Told you, I wasn't scared. Bring it.
No, but I'm just saying, the thing is, people have gotten into this rut, this eye makeup rut, and it's not just people doing their own makeup. And I'm calling y'all out. Makeup artists have just gotten so freaking lazy. It's like your name is makeup artist. Artists are creative.
Right.
Artists could find a new way. I mean, we went through the same like glut back in the late 80s and early 90s, what I affectionately call the checkmark makeup. You guys remember that? Like the very
mm-hmm.
whitish lid, and then you
yeah.
see that little checkmark
yeah.
print on the outside edge. I mean, that was like very Chanel, very Givenchy, whatever, in late 80s, early 90s, and every makeup artist was like stuck in that groove for a while. So now it's like, now we're stuck in this smoky eye thing because, you know, it's like, oh, it looks hot. But you know what? It doesn't work for everybody. And it just, everybody ends up looking the same at these parties and at these events. Nobody looks different. And then what I find very interesting and actually kind of hysterical, when somebody shows up with a nice, fresh, clean look, everybody drops dead. They're like, oh my God, she looks so natural. She looks gorgeous. She looks so fresh.
Right.
Yeah, because
right.
she doesn't have a freaking smoky eye on. Thank you.
Right. Right. Well, since we're right here on smoky eye, and we won't spend all night on smoky eye, but I just have to say this. Like, if you turn on, you know, the reality shows, you can turn on any one of them. And, you know, especially, you know, they have the African-American characters, they all have smoky eyes. It's the middle of the day. They're going to lunch. Everybody's got a smoky eye. What is that about?
Well, okay, that's another thing. Well, I'm going to get in trouble. You guys are going to get me in trouble tonight.
No.
You really are.
Hey, don't worry about it. We got you.
Well, because the thing is, and this is something that I find very problematic in the industry for makeup artists. A lot of makeup artists don't realize how amazing and what amazing, fabulous things you could do to a darker skin tone.
Mm-hmm.
You can play with light, shadow, and color and create
mm-hmm.
the most amazing things. When you get from a moderate Latino skin tone and you start moving toward a richer, deeper African-American skin tone, I mean, I get giddy. You don't understand. I mean, doing a pasty white girl's foundation gets me nauseous because it's just too easy. I mean,
mm-hmm.
when I got a darker skin in my chair, I mean, I could sculpt the eyes. I could sculpt the face. I will use 4 or 5 different colors of foundation alone. I mean,
right.
the eyelids.
Exactly.
Sweet Jesus, if they've got a beautiful eyelid, I will go nuts just reshaping it and sculpting it. It's like throwing a bunch of black eyeliner like it's time to make the donuts around the eyes is not cool. It's just
okay.
It's lazy again. It's laziness again. It's like I
okay.
want people to go out there and try new stuff.
So what about, and I mean, because I see it all the time, we see it on Instagram, I saw it yesterday, we see it on Twitter, wherever, you know, you have the makeup artists who are, every makeup that they do, it doesn't matter if it's for a photo shoot, if it's for TV, whatever, every single makeup that they do, you have all this highlighting and all this contouring, but it's almost like, did you really look at the face? Did you really, you know, consider this to be a corrective makeup? Or, I mean, what were you doing? Are you highlighting and contouring just because that's what some great artists do? I mean, do you know
no,
what
no,
you're
no,
doing?
No, 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 baby. You know why they're doing that. We're gonna do the KK again, baby. It's because Kim Kardashian does it. That's why. Everybody does. If Kim Kardashian would make a practice of farting in public, everybody would do it. I mean, it's like whatever the girl does, everybody does. She does the hard highlight and contour, everybody does the hard highlight and contour because they want to look like Kim Kardashian. It's like this seems to be our epitome of beauty right now. And the problem is this is a look that does not work on everyone. As a matter of fact, it works the extremity of the way that she does her makeup without the correct plastic surgery. Oops, did I say that? Without the correct augmentation, a lot of faces cannot take that kind of hard highlighting because it just, they do not, I mean, it's just, honestly, the thing that I learned the hard way was, especially working in an HD environment, particularly in media, highlighting is great. You don't have to contour. If you highlight the contour, if you highlight correctly, I take that back, if you highlight correctly, the contour creates itself. So it's like learn how to do your highlighting. You don't have to add in all the damn stripes. I mean, a lot of these girls are walking around looking like they're ready to do, like, grand opera. I mean, I've seen people at the Met, you know, before they walk on stage with their stage makeup on. It's like that's what it looks like on these girls on the street. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Right.
So like I say, the thing is, like, hang back with the contouring. Just stick with the highlighting. It will take care of itself.
But not so much of it. Like, it doesn't have to go from the lash line down to the cheekbone.
Well, again, that's like, we're not going to go there. If this was Andy Cohen and Watch What Happened Live, we would use Kim Kardashian as the drinking game. Maybe we should. Every time I say Kim Kardashian, everybody drinks. No, but this is what 5 million YouTube gurus have put on their channels.
Yep.
And the thing is, they do this huge triangle of highlight on the face, you know, from below the eyes all the way down, and then up again to the temple, and that's what everybody's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, if you have the wrong shaped face, or if you don't temper it or blend it correctly, it ends up making you look actually bigger. Your face looks bigger than it should, not,
mm-hmm.
not highlighted. So,
and that's why I think people have to be careful when they're looking for experts on YouTube, really make sure they're experts, because most of the people, again, I have to say again, on YouTube are doing makeup on themselves and not necessarily a model or a client or whatever. So you can't just do everything that you see on YouTube and think
well,
that it's right.
Well, the other thing I have to say, it's like I'm not, again, stating, not hating, okay? Remember that. We're stating, not hating. A lot of people that have YouTube channels do their own makeup really great, but don't do makeup on a lot of other people. And if they happen to have the kind of face that can handle that kind of makeup, it's even better for them. But the thing is, what about the people out there that don't look like you? You
exactly.
Know, I enjoy when a real makeup artist that works on other people, not just themselves, I watch them on YouTube. I mean, there's a handful of them
right.
that I watch religiously. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like, well, I mean, we could go into names. It's like, you know, I love me some Corinne Zander and Encore Makeup and Purse Buzz and, you know,
mm-hmm.
X Sparkage and, you know, Lisa Eldridge and the Pixie Roots I absolutely adore. But these are all makeup artists. These are people
right.
that work as artists outside of their home. So
right.
the thing is, when they get on YouTube and they do these things, you know, it's like, well, they do these on other people. So they're giving you good, oh, and Goss Makeup, we love Goss, we love Wayne Goss. All these people are giving you good makeup artist information. But then you have these people on YouTube that I'm not going to say, I'm just going to be quiet, Michelle fan, but did I say that? She's gotten much better. But I mean, the thing is, you've got to be careful. And the thing is, if you're going to emulate what one of these YouTube gurus do yourself a favor, practice it a couple of times in the mirror at home, and take a look at the way that you look before you go out. Don't just say, oh, blah, 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 did this, and I'm going to do this tonight and go out. Because you know what? It's not Halloween 365 nights a year. So be careful.
All right.
I just want to quickly say hello to all the people in the chat room. We have Kathy Aragon, Miranda Technicolor, Ruth Tanisha, Tara Little Fist, Sharon Tina, and Viola Nicholson. We have Centaur, the gorgeous ingredient, and then there's a couple of guests who don't have names, but welcome to you all as well. And then for those of you who are listening by phone, if you want to ask a question or make a comment, just press the option to speak with the host. And then for those who are listening by computer, you can call 914-803-4399 if you have a question.
Oh, my God, the beauty posse's in the house. I heard all the names I know. I love these girls.
Hey,
girl.
Right.
How are you doing? I'm so happy to hear you're out there. Ask questions. That reminds me, guys. Like, please ask questions. It's like, you know, call in, write in, tweet, Twitter, do whatever. Just like,
and
just,
also,
they all bust me all the time. It's like, well, Kevin, what about? Like,
right.
when I do a trade show, I'm like, they don't let me get up the damn stage because it's like, what about? Well, now's your damn chance. So ask the question.
Right. Thank you for saying that.
But, let me ask you quickly about this cosmetic line. You've heard of Nixie Cosmetics, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to them?
They kind of like went away, which really upset me because their pressed eyeshadows were like ridiculously good. I've got maybe about a dozen of them left, and I use them in my personal kit. I can never bring them with me when I do demo or I do education because people say, "Oh, what color is that? And where'd you get it?" Because you can't get it.
Yeah,
it just makes no sense. What happened was the actual company was a private label company who decided to make a regular beauty brand, but it was high-quality private label. And guys, you got to understand something. When I say private label, I want we have to make a delineation here. Not a private label. I take that back. It was a manufacturer. There's a difference between manufacturers and private label companies. We need to understand something about how this industry works. Cosmetic companies do not necessarily make their own makeup. A lot of them don't. There isn't an Estee Lauder makeup plant somewhere making all of Estee Lauder makeup. What they do is they have multiple manufacturers all around the world that make different components and different products for them, specifically to their needs, to their specifications, whatever. So the thing is, private label companies, on the other hand, have a preset group of whatever specific quality of makeup that is just ready in a variation of packaging. And they will put your name on it. Notice how I said your name. People understand your name cosmetics. They understand the your name cosmetics concept. There's your name. There's Lady Bird. There's Columbia. There's Pinnacle. All of these companies are private label companies. What they are doing is they are putting the product, your name, on their product. On the other hand, there are manufacturers. See, that's when people get, like, all tripped up about this stuff. And it just gets me insane. It's like they look at something and say, oh, that's private label. It's like, no. It's from a manufacturer, yes. And maybe this company and that company both went to the same manufacturer, so there are similarities. But you know what?
Right.
It's not private label. Private label, you don't have a choice at your quality. You don't formulate your product. You buy what they have. So did I just school everybody about the difference? Is that okay?
Oh,
that's
perfect.
But, you know, I noticed about Nixie, you know, when they first came out, I noticed that when they first came on the scene, they had actual stores, a couple of different ones in different areas of California. So I'm like, oh, wow, you know, they're really big and they're this and that. And then next thing you know, they're gone.
I mean, this is, again, conspiracy theory. I will never say for fact of anything because I don't know, but I don't think that they were. I don't think they were managed correctly. I mean, I really liked the company. I had a lot of contact with the people at corporate levels. They were very nice to me. They sent me a lot of great stuff, but I was kind of sad when they went. They had one of the best lip stains that I have ever used. I mean, I actually took that lip stain for a client of mine because I do product development for a lot of major companies, and I was like, here, knock this off. This is fabulous. I'm sorry, but no, I mean, their lip stain was amazing. They had gorgeous cream blushes. They had amazing pressed color. I mean, it was just, it's kind of sad that they went away. And the thing is, I can't figure out where they came from because they just literally fell off the planet. They went away.
Exactly. You're right. And I have a couple of the eyeshadows left as well, and it's like, I don't want these to go, but it's nice that they could have stayed around, but they were a good company, I thought.
Well, you know, we've done our annual lots now, which is pretty cool. And that's the quality level is pretty close. Only thing I gotta say, I mean, I love me some Angelot because it's great for pros because it's good quality and the price is great for us. They gotta start pressing those eyeshadows a little bit harder because they shatter a little
too easily. Yes, they do. Yes.
Well, not shatter so much. It's just that they're very soft.
They are. Because I find that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I find that to be the case as well with my the blush colors.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a pressing issue. They need to press them a little bit harder. But, I mean, they're beautiful, and they're silky, and they're soft, and the price is amazing for what it is. If you've got your pro discount, I mean, their single shadows break down to something like $4 or $5 each. I mean, that's amazing. You know, and throw a bunch of them. Like, I've got one palette. Back to the Z palette. Big old square pro palette filled with rectangular angelot. I mean, no space in between. I could put like 28 eyeshadows in the pro palette, the Z palette. It's amazing. It's so cool. So, yeah, so love that. Also, guys, can we just discuss something that's very, very important to me? Can we talk pro for a minute here and excuse ourselves from the consumer conversation for a second?
Sure.
Is that okay?
That's fine.
I need to stress something to the artists out there. Guys, you got to stop getting all caught up in consumer cosmetics because of clients.
Oh, yes, thank you. Let's definitely
you've got to stop getting all caught up in consumer cosmetics because your clients are like, well, where's the MAC and where's the Smashbox and where's it? I mean, I love all these brands. They're great brands, but you know what? There are core items that you've got to get the real stuff. You've got to get your Cinema Secrets. You've got to get your Mehrons. You've got to get all your RCMAs, you know, all these things. You've got to get your pro stuff and your kit, too, and especially the complexion products because this is where, I mean, you can use anyone's eyeshadow. I don't care. You can use anyone's color product. The thing is, complexion products, you need to get professional complexion products. You have to. What people don't understand is an over-the-counter liquid foundation is going to have between 5 to, at the top, maybe 7% pigment in it. What are you paying for?
Right.
I mean, honestly, what are you getting? Well, in the meantime, and I say this in classes all the time when I do education, it's like, I don't carry liquid foundation with me. I carry airbrush foundation with me, and I carry extreme coverage cream foundation. And I break down to get in the middle with a mixing medium. Because the thing is, if you've got full pigmented products in your kit, if you're faced with a tattoo, vitiligo, rosacea, whatever kind of challenges you're faced with, you will have the coverage to cover it. If you need something sheerer, all you do is take that full coverage and break it down, and you've got sheer makeup. You're carrying less items, you're being more efficient. And the thing is, you're not going to get this kind of extreme coverage buying from a consumer source. You've got to buy professional makeup. And the thing is, what people don't understand or don't want to understand, these professional products at this ridiculous amount of pigment that is so great for our work is a third of the price of the consumer stuff. Why are you paying for the expensive packaging, the advertising, and all the other stuff? I don't get it. I mean, as a consumer, yeah, you don't have access to the stuff we're using, and you probably wouldn't know how to use it. You're going to be a loose gun with, you know, Cinema Secrets Foundation. It's going to be way too much coverage for you. You're not going to know what to do with an RCMA. You're not going to know what to do with these full coverage products, a Dermacolor, you know, or how to break it down. But if you are a makeup artist, just think of the opportunity you have. Like, you know me with editing my kit. I love a nice, tight kit. That didn't sound right, did it? But I love a well-edited kit. And the thing is, I don't understand why people carry like 5 million different components of complexion. I carry my complexion bag is like this tiny little zipper bag inside my Zooka that literally has two 8-color extreme palettes, I put extreme makeup, and I've got CoverFX, and I've got Cinema Secret. And I carry my Temptu SB as my airbrush if I need it, or as my liquid makeup for guys. That's it. Done deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so I just had to bring that up because people know I preach about that stuff.
Quick question about product. Which mixing medium do you like to use?
I'm kind of, like, torn right now because I love the Temptu mixing medium, but Krylon just came out with a new one that's really cool because it's more of a cream gel. It's a silicone cream gel, which I don't even Yeah, it's like the mixing medium. I mean, I love me some Temptu, but, I mean, theirs is a little bit oily greasy. This one's like it's like almost a primer consistency, but it's a mixer. And you can mix it with anything, including loose pigments. I mean, it's just, it's really, really cool. I wish I could remember the name of the darn stuff. They gave me a lab sample of it before it was introduced, and it didn't have a name on it, so I don't know. But if you go to Krylon and you check it out, they have a new mixing medium in a tube. It's really cool, very cool. And that's what I've been using lately. Or when I'm in a bind, I will use a primer as my mixing medium. I'm kind of obsessed with the Set the Stage Primer by Whippan Cosmetics lately because it's, it's replaced three primers in my kit, which which I'm very happy about because, like I said, tight kit, kids. It's like this shove, it's like it fills in the lines. It totally and completely controls oil shine. And on top of that, it grips makeup like in a headlock. So, and one little one-ounce jar, which looks like absolutely nothing, that stuff is so concentrated, it is scary. So I'm kind of obsessed with it. Actually, I actually put it in my pop-up shop on opensky.com, and I sold them out. But they kind of went out because people, like, tried it, and they started reordering, like, additionals because they couldn't believe how good this stuff was. It's just, it's really, I mean, and who would think that primer made in Motor City, it's made in Detroit. So, I mean, I would use a primer or I like that mixing medium product from Krylon, that new mixing medium. So those are my two.
Well, I want to ask you what's new with Krylon, but before I ask you that, Lynn is in the chat room, and she's saying that you are coming to L.A. on January 17th to do a workshop, and she's hosting it. So if you want to just, you know, give a little plug about that really quick, you can.
Yeah, we just confirmed this, like, a day or two ago. I'm going to be out in L.A. for IMAX in January anyway, and Lynn did a class with me, a one-day workshop with me a couple of months ago in Detroit, and it was a sellout. I mean, she actually oversold. We almost had no room to move in the room. So she was like, you know, I'm coming out to L.A. for IMAX. Do you want to do another workshop? I'll organize it for you. And I was like, absolutely. So we've kind of partnered with the guys at Friends Beauty Supply, and and we're using the space at Ruby's Makeup Academy, which is literally diagonally across the street from Friends. So on January 17th, Thursday, we're going to do a full-day class. We're doing the Editorial Edge, which I love because it's an editorial makeup class, but it's not your mama's editorial makeup class. We do not walk in and pull out the crazy colors, the glitter, and the feathered eyelashes. We teach you how to actually work with a client, whether it be an advertiser, whether it be a beauty editor, whether it be an art director, and produce print-worthy editorial makeup, which means that it is beautiful, not just crazy. So, this is a class that I really love, and we're going to be doing that for the day. It's going to be a hands-on workshop. And what's really, really cool is the guys at Friends for that day, whether you're on lunch break or right after we finish the class, are going to be offering, like, some superhuman discounts to all the people that participate. So you get to come to a class and play with me all day and listen to my rants and raves in person. And then you can walk across the street to Friends and get all the stuff you want at a ridiculous discount. We're also trying, I've got my fingers crossed, we are trying. We have not gotten word yet, but we might be getting free passes to the pro event at IMATS for all the attendees also. So that could be an extra little special perk, but I'm not supposed to talk about that. So of course I did. So
right.
No, and I mean, you know, just the typical samples and goodies and, you know,
right.
and workbook and, you know, and Lynn is providing refreshments and lunch. I don't know how she's doing that, but, you know, it's going to be a really cool, fun day. I'm warning all the people that sign up, definitely come with your running shoes on because I'm going to work your butts into the ground. Because the thing is, it's like when we play together, we play hard. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, this, like I said, this is not your mama's makeup workshop. This is like, okay, you know what? You came here to learn. You came, and I expect people to come in and make mistakes. This is the other thing. I don't know how other people learn workshops. And this is just a general thing about Kevin James Bennett doing education. I need to clarify things. When you come to my workshops, I expect you to screw up. I want to help you fix the mistakes. I want to help you learn how to get over the bumps and not freak out, how to find your way through the woods when you get lost. The thing is, if you come to one of my workshops thinking you're going to impress me or trying to impress me and you get it right by accident that day, you've wasted your money, because then the next day when you're actually on the job and you make the mistake, you're not going to have the benefit of me showing you how to get out of it. So
right.
Come to my classes. Be ready to tell me all of your deepest, darkest fears. I want to know what messes you up. I want to know what screws you up. I want to know what you're afraid of doing. I want to show you how to get there. This is what education is all about. It's about sharing. And this is, I'm only going to bring this up for a moment because I have to say this. I say this all the time. I need to get it through the heads of makeup artists out there. It is not about keeping your information to yourself. It is not about not sharing because you're afraid somebody's going to steal something from you. That's
right.
A bunch of bullshit, okay? I said it, bullshit. Because you learned it from someone. So pass it along, okay?
Right.
That's all I'm going to say.
And how much is that class, Kevin?
That class is $300 for the day.
Okay.
I will be validating parking tickets. Not really. I don't know. Maybe they will. I don't know. We'll talk to Matt at Friends, or we'll talk to Ruby. We'll find out. Maybe somebody will validate. I don't know. But, no, it's going to be fun. And when you think about it, for all that you're going to get in a day with me, because you get to literally reach into this black hole of information and pull out as much as you can in 8 hours. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's definitely worth your money and worth your time. So if you're available on the 17th of January, come and play.
All right, thank you, Lynn, for bringing it up in the chat room.
Sounds like fun. Then if we can kind of transition back to holiday looks. Before we go into, I guess, more of holiday looks, I'm just curious, and I just wanted to know, Kevin, like, what is one of your favorite Christmas traditions?
In what sense are you asking me?
Like, is there something special that you do during the holidays?
Oh, okay. It's not makeup stuff. It's just personal stuff.
No, yeah,
right?
just general. Yeah, it doesn't have to be makeup stuff.
Honestly, I am the biggest sentimental fool. I mean, I basically when people say their heart's on their sleeve, it's like that's putting it mildly for me. I cry at the drop of a hat. I'm just like so sensitized and so emotional about everything. I love watching holiday movies, holiday shows, everything sappy, everything that's just savagely, ridiculously saccharine and sentimental. I gush.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, coming into the holidays and all those shows start airing, it's like I just either DVR, I just sit there lost.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny because we used to alternate holidays when I was with my ex, and his family lived in Virginia, and we would go, and they would have I can't remember the name of the damn movie, Christmas Story. They would pretty much have it on a loop all day, and I would just keep on going over and catching pieces of it. So, you know, it's just like stuff like that I love. It's like it's a wonderful life. I mean, when that kid talks, an angel just got his wings, a bell. I mean, I just weep. It's stupid. But so there, yeah, that's my thing. I'm very sentimental about the holidays. I love all the sappy stuff, all the music, all the movies, all the shows. It's like, you know, it's just, that's what it is for me. Going to see the tree in Rockefeller Center, I mean, I stand there. Like, I wait. I'm the idiot that waits until, like, Christmas Eve or the day before. Actually, the day before, because usually it's family on Christmas Eve. Day before, and I go there at, like, you know, midnight or 1 in the morning when nobody's around, and I just, like, stand there all alone and look at that massive tree, and I get all choked up all by myself.
Those are really nice traditions.
Well, it's cool.
There's
but
nothing wrong with that.
And also with technology now with my iPod, you know, my iPhone, I could have fabulous sappy music playing as I stand there in Rockefeller Plaza staring at
right.
the tree, which makes it even more weepable.
That's really sweet.
So
besides the smoky eye that nobody likes, what's another, I guess, holiday look that you really enjoy, that you enjoy applying or that you enjoy seeing on someone else?
I love a beautiful, clean, architectural makeup. I love, well, the thing is, I mean, because I'm like the cosmetic queen. So it's like, I love me some good complexion. It's all about complexion to
mm-hmm.
me. You know, it's all about complexion to Blenderella. That's the way it
yep.
is. It's like, I love, just do your complexion. If you do your complexion beautifully, you don't have to worry about a lot of other makeup. But when it comes to other
really
makeup,
don't.
But the thing that I love, and like, this wasn't holiday, but I'm gonna go back to it because it becomes
mm-hmm.
sort of semi-iconic. I went out of my mind when I saw Adele's makeup for the Grammys. That
mm-hmm.
Grammy makeup was so on point for holiday. That gorgeous winged
yep.
eye with that softly sculpted eye and that gorgeous deep red lip, that was stunning occasion
mm-hmm.
makeup. Beautiful, clean, architectural. I mean, she looked so freaking amazing. And that's a look that translates to anyone. Anyway,
exactly.
you just gotta deal with the intensities of the makeup, you know, and just balance it correctly. And the thing I gotta warn people about, it's really important, especially fall, winter now, and I'm really happy to see that it did happen. The colors that we're seeing are much deeper and richer. We're seeing more of these aubergine-y colors,
uh-huh.
these deep bricky reds. Because the thing is, what people don't understand is, and again, this is where I have a huge issue with the cosmetic industry. I'm going to lay it out there, and I'm probably never going to work again, but I'm going to say it. A lot of the advertising and a lot of the looks and the trends that are pushed out are very applicable to one skin tone. What they
right.
don't bother telling you is how to adapt this to a global complexion.
Right.
Which makes me kind of crazy. So the thing is, yeah, red lips are really exciting. But the thing is, the red lip on Anna Paquin,
mm-hmm.
you know, is not going to look the same on Jada Smith. I mean, it's
right.
like, it's going to look like neon on her. So the thing is, we've got to adjust. People have to look at color and know that. And this is, again, this is my other big thing. It's like color theory. Color theory is important when you're doing your makeup because the intensity. The level of pigmentation has to rise as the skin deepens. Because when you look at skin, darker skin has more what? Pigment, melanin.
Right.
So the thing is, if your colors are not richer, they're not going to look as good. Because what people don't tend to know is when you're formulating colors, the lighter or the brighter colors have a lot more white pigment in them, titanium dioxide. When people, and that's, can we dispel this myth right now? Titanium dioxide is not the reason why things flash back in photographs. Okay? It's not the titanium. Okay?
Oh my God,
titanium.
I haven't heard that in years.
Titanium? No, but people go off on sunscreen and blah, blah, blah. And titanium dioxide in conjunction with zinc oxide creates a sun barrier and flashes. Titanium dioxide on its own is what we consider white pigment in cosmetics. Everything that's got anything white in it is using titanium dioxide. That's the pigment of choice in the cosmetic industry. It is not until you mix it with other agents, including zinc oxide, that you will get a sun protection that will flash back. So all these people online are like, oh, it's got titanium. It's like, no, that's not the reason. Titanium makes it white. This is also the issue we have. Now, this is going to be an aha moment for people. The levels of titanium and talc in a product strongly determine what skin color they work on and what they don't. You can look at an eyeshadow that looks yellow in the pan, but when you put it on a lighter-skinned person, it's going to come up sort of yellow. When you put it on a darker-skinned person, it comes up kind of white. Why? Because there wasn't so much yellow pigment in it. There was enough to make it look that color in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going off in this whole color theory thing, aren't I? Rein me in, girls. The thing is, bottom line is, when you look at color, if you want to emulate something you've seen in a magazine, you have to envision what depth of pigment the color has to switch to go with your skin tone. What might be great as a bright orange lipstick on a light skin tone has got to go to almost a rusty orange on a darker skin tone to look the same color. Do you understand what I'm saying now?
Gotcha, yeah.
So that's all that I have to say. So people that turn around and say, like, I can't wear the trend colors. Yes, you can wear the trend colors. You just have to adjust the trend color so it looks like the trend color on you. It just might not be the same color out of the tube. The finished product will look the same, though. So this is, again, full circle, why I'm so happy this winter, fall winter, we're looking at much richer tone lipsticks because they adapt to a more global skin tone. These richer tones, these jewel tone purpley reds, these dark axe bloods, these aubergines, these deep brick colors, they cross over so much easier. We had this whole time of ridiculous amounts of, like, tangerine tango and everything, which I loved. But, I mean, tangerine and peach and bright red look great on one skin tone, but if they were not calibrated correctly, did not look good globally.
Right.
So, yeah, so I'm excited about darker skin tones. I'm excited about an architectural eye. I love me some lashes. You know I love lashes. Can I say one other thing, though, guys? Can we, like, dispense with a lot? I mean, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble again. Guys, lay off the lash extensions, please, because it's just, like, it's getting to the point where it's absolutely crazy. It's like people are getting, like, massive lash extensions put in, and then they put lashes over the top, and it's like you don't realize in 90% of normal lighting, you've got this awning over your eye. It puts a black circle under your eye from the shadow. I mean, it just doesn't look pretty, you know? And the other thing is, unless you are maintaining these lash extensions constantly, I can't tell you how many times I've seen people walking around with, like, well, how do we say this nicely? It's like, jacked up extensions. I mean, it's like they got them missing here and falling out there, and it's like guys, if you're going to make that commitment, you've got to maintain it. You put extensions in your hair, honey. You can't let yourself grow out 4 inches from the root and not get them tightened up. You just can't. So it's you get lash extensions, you got to take care of them. And then I say, it's like, but do you want to have them all the time? If you're lash challenged, maybe.
Right.
But I mean, you know what? Get some Latisse. Get to your doctor and try to grow your own before you go crazy with this stuff. Doing it for a, you know what I say it's great to do? You're getting married and you don't want to worry about them because you're going to have your lashes for your wedding. You're going to have your lashes for your honeymoon. You're going on a vacation. You don't want to deal with it. You've got these lashes in. If you've got an occasion coming, if you've got something coming up, great. But to be maintaining these constantly, it's crazy, and it's ridiculously expensive, and the people in this industry are going to be shooting at me when I walk out my door tomorrow.
But you're right, though. I mean, the thing is, if you get them done, first of all, you have to get them done by a professional and someone who's experienced. And then when you get them done, you have to maintain them. You have to keep them up because it looks a hot mess if you don't.
And you know what I love? Personally, I just love a really sparse strip of false eyelashes. What I do is, and I keep these in my kit all the time, if I find somebody and I say lash challenged, I don't like to say, well, she doesn't have any lashes. It's like, no, she's lash challenged. what I'll do is I'll take, and I keep them in brown, which people think that I'm nuts, but it makes sense.
No.
I keep very sparse brown false eyelashes. I put the strip on very tight to the lash line before I do any of the makeup, and then I coat them top and bottom with mascara and lock them onto their lashes. It looks like the damn lashes are growing out of their eyes.
Exactly.
And it looks beautiful, and it's a great fix, and you don't have to do something that's permanent.
And can I let me say something else about the lash extensions. If you're going to get lash extensions, and this is a big thing for me, if you're going to get lash extensions, then please make sure you have someone who knows and understands how to design a lash, and not someone who just wants to put long lashes on, but they have to understand how to design a lash. You don't have to have long lashes from one corner to the other corner.
Are you you're talking about somebody that actually understands that there are short, medium, and long fibers
right.
put on?
Yep, somebody like that, yes, yes. Not all size 12 or size 11, but you have to, I mean, yeah. I'm not even going to go there, but yes, someone like that.
No. I've seen some botch jobs. I know where they do this cloth hatch, and they just like, I mean, it's like it doesn't look like lashes. It looks like a nest.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of funny because when I designed the Revolution brushes for Royal Langnickel, the mascara fan that I designed has grooves in it to get through lash extensions because
right.
I'm facing so much of it that I was like, okay, we've got to do something to fix this.
Right.
So, yeah. So,
and that's why I bought two of them.
Well, good. We love that.
Because it's a problem. It's a problem.
So now, as other thing for holiday makeup, which I absolutely love, and I like the transitional makeup going from day into evening because a lot of people are going to parties right after work. It
right.
is so easy to do a transition. Basically, all you got to do is add more liner to your eye and take like a little bit of shimmering eyeshadow with you to work and just throw it on your lid. That's it. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
Refresh your lips, clean your foundation up in your concealer, and you're good to go. It's like that little bit of extra liner, an extra coat of mascara, and something shimmering on the lid only. Lid only,
yep.
guys. Hear me? Lid only. We're going to address this once again. Keep the shimmer off the damn brow bone. Light things move forward. Dark things recede. If you put shimmering eyeshadow on your brow bone, it moves way forward, and you look like a Neanderthal. Don't do it. I mean, I'm sorry. I watch that show Bridezilla's on WeTV. I'm bad. I watch David. I'm a reality show freak. I'm out of control. But I watch all these girls and they got like frosted white eyeshadow on their eyebrows, and I'm like,
well. Well, yeah. I just saw somebody like that on Housewives.
Yeah.
It was like I'm literally white under the brow bone, and I mean, it was going. I mean, all the way across the whole brow bone.
Well, can we talk about, and let me guess right now, it was either Atlanta or Miami, because this is segregated to the Southeast.
Of course it was Atlanta.
I was thinking it had to be one of the two. It had to be Miami or it had to be Atlanta, because it seems to be that people do that more here than they do on the West Coast. And the West Coast are kind of like, they're natural. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So now, do we have any other questions for any of these other crazy people out there, or just is nobody asking anything? I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking. I'm putting it out there in the chat room. They're chatting, but they're not asking any questions.
You know what I think it is with some of the guests that we have on. I think because so many of the people in the chat room, they go to the trade shows, so they see you at the trade shows, and they feel like they know you. They feel like they know everything about you, so they don't have to ask questions. But that's crap. Because why do we even take the time to even bring you on the show if they're not going to ask? I mean, this is an opportunity to learn something else. Ask a question. Somebody.
No, it's okay. Now, you know what the thing is also, and I got to tell you, and I feel bad about this sometimes. I'm just so obnoxious and so out there that people get nervous to ask me things sometimes because they're afraid of what I'll say. It's like, okay, you asked me, do you want to hear the answer? It's like, so I kind of I appreciate it at times because I basically if you ask me something, I'm going to tell you. So I think people get nervous sometimes because they're like, oh God, what happens if he calls me out? It's like I would never be intentionally mean. You know, like I said, I state, I don't hate. So, but
right.
No, but so yeah. So the thing is, it's like trade shows. By the way, trade shows. That's another thing we need to talk about, guys. Can I bring this up right now? Just like get this out of the way. I need to address something to the professionals out there. All of this bullshit about like, well, is this a pro trade show or is this a not a pro? I mean, all these people like getting back and forth about it. Like they let this person, you know, let me lay it out to you guys, okay? We love you desperately, but let me tell you quite honestly, you don't want people like me at your trade show because you know what? And I'm going to say this because it's all about transparency and it's all about the truth. I don't pay for shit because I'm Kevin James Bennett, okay? We put it out there. People send me a lot of stuff. You don't want me at your show. You're not going to make any damn money, okay? What the organizers at these shows have to do is, yes, they do invite the trade, but they have to allow the trade to bring their friends, and they have to allow in students, and they have to allow in people that are working in salons that are not necessarily makeup artists, but are more hairstylists and nail technicians and aesthetics people. These people have to come to the shows because if they don't come to the shows and buy the stuff from the vendors that are on the floor, there is no damn show. So let's just get that out there once and for all. Because I am sick to shit of hearing people talk about, well, this is the only trade show that's pro, and this is pro, and that's not pro. And
right.
This is, it's like, you know what? Pro this, okay? It's like, enough.
Right.
Be thankful. Like, and this is the thing that gets me really insane. The people at IMATS actually have a specific pro-only day.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
Do these pros show up on that day? No. They show up on Saturday and bitch, they're crowded. It's like, are you joking me? They've got a day for you and you still complain. It's like, I'm tired of the complaining. And the thing is that, okay, no, let's just make this totally, completely real once and for all. If you're actually a pro, you're going to get the same discount whether you go to the show or not because you're part of their program. So you know what? If you don't want to hit the crowds, call and order it or order it online and shut
up. That's right. Yeah, and I've actually heard vendors complain also on Saturdays and stuff about, you know, oh, they're letting in, you know, just people off the street or whatever, and, you know, they've got these kids and the kids are running over to NYX and, you know, we're not making any money. But then you have the pros there that you're giving stuff to, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's like, what do you want? So, yes, they do have to let just your common, everyday woman, you know, young girl, you know, nail person, student, they have to let those people in. You're right. They're not going to make money if they don't.
And, you know, the other thing is that people don't seem to realize, it's like a lot of these people on the weekends, they have nowhere to put these kids.
Nowhere.
So
they have
gotta
to bring them.
They got to bring them if they want to come to the show. So it's like, you know what? It's not. So there were a couple of kids running around on the floor. Who the hell cares?
Who cares?
I mean,
heard
it's
somebody
like,
one time complaining because a woman had her baby at the show. I mean, where else is she going to take the baby if she has no one to babysit?
So let me just ask that person. It's like, okay, so you just had a kid and you're a professional makeup artist and you want to come to this trade show and you're working in film and television and photo, whatever, and you want to come to this show, but you just have a kid that you just had and you have nobody to watch the kid, so you're going to not come to the show because some other person is like, oh, she brought a baby? Are you joking me?
Right.
I mean, it's like I find the fact that people put all these conditions and rules and everybody tries to label everything is like enough. Just go to the show, have fun. If you don't want to be in crowds, you shouldn't be going to a damn trade show. Get over
it. See, and I'd rather go to a trade show that's crowded because at least I know it's a good one.
Exactly. And you want to know something? The thing is, if you're a pro and you know the vendors, you show your face, you say hi, they know you were there. It's like, and you're good. And you're good.
Yep.
Because you've shown your face and you've shown your allegiance and said, hi, how
yep.
are you? You don't have to buy that day. They just know, oh, I saw Denise. I saw Janice. I saw Kevin.
Uh-huh.
I saw this one. I saw that one. They all came to the show. How nice.
Yep.
So, you know, it's like you're showing support by showing up. So
and you maintain
like,
those relationships.
Exactly, and it's just like I said, that whole conversation has just gotten so tired and so old at this point. It's like I'm tired of hearing people spouting about that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, it's like just don't go then. Don't go.
Right.
Then.
Exactly. Choose the show you want to go to and just shut up about the other ones.
So like now I'm gonna like get hate mail from IMATS and from the makeup show because I'm telling people not to go to shows.
But you know what? But do you really care though? I mean, do you really care that you know you're gonna get hate mail and all that?
You know what? I really don't because
really?
I go to all the shows and
right.
I laugh.
Exactly. So it doesn't even matter.
And the thing that's funny to me is I go to all these shows and I have so much fun because I'm with my peers. Like, there's a whole lot of other people there, but I see all these people that work in the industry that I don't get to see all the time. You know, I just love that, and I have fun, and I get to meet new people, and I get to talk to people that are interested in the industry. You know, what happens if somebody is not a makeup artist but is there with a friend who's a makeup artist and comes to a show and sees some education or sees something and says, you know what, maybe I want to do this. What's wrong
right.
with that? I mean, this,
right.
it's about opening our minds and embracing each other. It's not about exclusion. It's about inclusion. We've got to stop labeling people and putting them in boxes. It's like this is a big planet with a lot of people that have a lot of anger and a lot of hate. We've got to start dispersing some of this and just being a little bit more positive, especially in our work environment because, geez, we spend most of our time sleeping or working. We should be happy doing both.
Right.
All right, so, you guys, we have Viola on the line. She wants to say a little something.
Hey.
Hey, Kevin, you are giving us the business. I'm loving it.
I'm just am I being a little too real? I'm almost done with this bloody
no,
Mary.
No, I love it. No, no. We need it.
So what do you want,
yeah.
So what do you want to know,
that's
darling?
That's what the industry needed. This is what I want to know. What do you think is going to happen in the next 5 years? Because everyone is fabulous and fierce now with the makeup game. So where do you think the industry is going to be in the next 5 years? Are we going to see more snuffle puffs running around with the lash glue, or is the classiness still going to exist in the beauty industry? That's what I want to know from you. What do you see?
I honestly think that all the crazy bullshit that we're seeing right now is going to work itself out.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to be turning a corner soon.
Mm-hmm.
I think we bottomed out on the craziness right now. I really do because I think we hit the penultimate at this point. It can't get any crazier than it is now. And I think what's happening is that the industry is realizing that they alienated a lot of people, and they've got
mm-hmm.
to bring them back into the fold, and they've got to become a community again. I say this specifically because an announcement was made just the other day that Rick Baker is going to be doing a color collection for MAC. That's going to be debuting next October, of course, around Halloween. Smart, 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 market, market, market. But the thing is, I think this is them extending the olive branch and saying, okay, you know what? We screwed you guys up. We took work away from you. We created this monster that every other cosmetic company now follows. So maybe we want to get back to, like, treating you a little nicer and paying attention to you. I think that it's going to slowly but surely happen again. I don't think that these companies will be able to survive under the quote-unquote pro umbrella unless they start treating pros better because with social media and social networking, what it is right now, you can't sneeze in the wrong direction without the world finding out in 15 minutes. So I think that they're being much more cautious, and I think they're going to embrace us again. And I think the industry is going to see a definite change and an upswing. Also, the other thing that I got to tell people, if you're a professional makeup artist and you're worried about all these Craigslists and model mayhem, crazy-ass people charging $25 to do an entire wedding party, What the hell are you dressing for? That is not the work that you want. That is not going to build your career. That is bullshit work. Stop stressing about it. Stop stressing about them. They are not ever going to get the job that you want to get that is going to build your career into something sustainable. So stop stressing. People go on these massive rants, and they get all agitated and like, da-da-da-da, and on Craigslist, did you see? It's like, calm your ass down. These are not serious makeup artists. These are caboodles makeup artists, and the people that are hiring them are weighing out the money they're saving on the possible crap they're going to get. So the thing is, it's like they're pretty much, you know, shooting in the dark there. They don't know what they're going to get for $25. It might work and might not. This is not a way to build a career. So everybody's got to start stressing about this. You know, it's like I'm tired of hearing people like, well, blah, 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 and this person undercut. And it's like, yeah, you know what? They're going to be known as the discount makeup artist. They're never going to be offered the paying jobs. And let me tell you, I've seen this happen. I had a conversation with a photographer only 3 weeks ago, and I was talking to him, and we were talking about blah, 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 and he's telling me about this gig he did, and he got this artist in that was really inexpensive and blah, 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 blah. And she was kind of cute, and she was fun, blah, blah, blah. And he's talking about these other things. I said, so you're going to call this person? I said, hell no. And I was like, well, why? You said she was like, okay. She's no, I can't trust that person because, you know, I need to hire somebody that I know, you know, is going to do the job and blah, blah, blah. So in other words, these discount artists are getting in, but they're getting a reputation also that they can't be trusted when the real paying customers come in. So everybody, okay, I went off on a tangent again. Did I just do that?
No, we need it, you know. No.
So, yeah.
That's
so,
what
yeah,
I wanted to hear.
So basically, that's my take on it. It's like everybody needs to stop stressing about this and concentrate on building your own career. And the thing is also, I need to also stress this. You got to work. Guys, get off your damn asses, please. You have to. This doesn't happen on its own. You've got to work toward the next level every day. I've been doing this for, God, I'm not going to tell you how long because I'm trying to look a lot younger. But I've been doing this for a long time. To this day, every day, 7 days a week, I do something that is relatable to my career that is going to do either I network, either I'm doing social media, either I'm sending information out, either I'm making contact. I'm doing something every day to propel my career forward. You cannot sit around and wait and bitch and complain. It's like, oh, there's no jobs. Oh, there's, you want to know something? Sometimes there are no jobs, but sometimes you have to tell people literally, it's like, you need to hire me for blah, 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 blah. And they're like, well, I didn't think of that. You actually need sometimes to create the job yourself and let people know that they need you. You don't know you're there unless you make some noise. You are
That's
not
true.
Going to get anywhere by sitting on your butt and pissing and moaning about how the industry's crap and I'm not getting work and blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know what, pity party in the corner. I'm not joining that party. I am out in front. I am making my – you know what? I have had a career that has sustained itself for over 25 years. Have I hit peaks? Yes. Have I hit valleys? Deep ones. I have hit the bottom at times. But you know what? Drag my butt up and clawed my way back up to the top again because you know what? Those rocks are sharp. And you get a little bloody, but you know what? You get back up there. You got to work hard. This is the other thing is sometimes it's not pretty. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it is hard. I don't understand. People seem to have forgotten that the name of this thing is work. You've got to work, okay? It's not this is a gift or, you know, this is work. Work means you've got to actually exude some energy into making it happen. You can't sit around and wait. And all these people that think that it's going to come to them, this whole entitled generation that we're faced with right now, have got to just wake up. I mean, honestly, and I said this just recently, this entitled generation that we're facing right now, this is not the baseball game where everybody wins and nobody's out and everybody gets a trophy. Bullshit. Somebody is going to lose. Actually, a lot of people are going to lose and there's going to be one winner. You've got to get out there and work. This is not about, oh, there are no losers. Yeah, there's losers. And you know what? When you lose, you think back, okay, why did I lose this time? How do I fix it next time? You've got to keep moving. I just went off again. Look at that. I just keep on going off on these tangents. But, I mean, these are things that I'm constantly asked about in the industry, and I just get so frustrated with people sometimes because the answers are there. It's like this has not changed in 100 years. Good, hard work brings you benefits. Good, hard work takes you to the next place. People that work hard and are diligent and are passionate about what they do are successful. It's just the way it is. So if you're not, and I say this with as much humility as I can, if you do not adore this industry, if you are not passionate about this industry, do something else.
Not true. Let me ask you. You know, based on the same thing that you're talking about, what kind of advice would you give someone if they're doing all of that? And then they get to a point where, I don't know, if they've just hit a stump or what have you, what would you say to them to encourage them to get back up and get back at it again? You know, those people who know the things that they need to do, they just can't get started. They just can't get moving. What would you say to encourage them?
You don't want to hear this because it's not pretty. I'm not one of those like rah 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 cheerleader kind of motivators. I'm like a get off your frickin' ass motivator. It's like, come on, you know what, guys? It's like if it's not happening, you're not trying hard enough. I'm sorry. It's just, and I say this out of love because the thing is, I've already made all these mistakes and I'm still making them.
Mm-hmm.
I make mistakes all
mm-hmm.
the time. But the thing is, it's like I know from experience. I cannot
mm-hmm.
blame anyone but myself when things aren't happening because I am not trying hard enough. And people say, oh, I tried so hard. And I tried. It's like, no, you didn't. You didn't. Because you know what? Something, it might not have been the outcome you wanted necessarily, but
mm-hmm.
something would have come of it if you really did work that hard. See, the thing is, there are a lot of times when things happen in my life where I don't get what I expected or what I wanted. But an offshoot, because I have tried so hard, is something else is revealed to me, some other opportunity that I can then move towards. This is what people don't realize. They get so tunnel visioned about what they want to do, they don't broaden their horizon and see the other opportunities that are handed to them. And this is crazy. Like I say to people all the time, and I joke about this when I'm on platform, I'm in a classroom. I say, who wants to be an editorial makeup artist? And everybody raises their hand. I'm like, you're going to starve. You are. You're going to starve. It's like, let's face facts. It's like, I want to do fashion. It's like, you know what? Yeah, that's really nice, but it's not going to pay the bills. What do you want to do to make money so you can do that when you want to, like, express yourself? See, this is the other
right.
thing. It's like realistic goals. You've got to be realistic about what you want to do. You know, it's like people don't understand. They see the glamour of these people, these high-level makeup artists that are with agencies that do all this fabulous stuff. And the thing is, good, you got the cover of Vogue. That's great. That was a one-day shoot. What are they doing for the rest of the month? It's like, really, guys? It's like they're doing a whole lot of other stuff that you don't know about that isn't necessarily as glamorous to pay the bills. Because you know what? That one job, I hate to tell you this, but that one cover of quote-unquote Vogue pays diddly squat because you're getting the care and you're getting the credibility of doing that cover. You're not getting the money for it. So this is what I'm saying. It's like, guys, it's like you've got to have, and I don't like to call it a backup plan because it's not a backup plan. It's like it's sort of on contingency to a certain extent, but the thing is you've got to have a working plan. There's going to be high-level, gorgeous luxury jobs, and then there's going to be grunt work. It can't be all fabulous. Some of it's going to be down and dirty. It just is. That's the way the industry is if you want to be successful. Well, did that answer that?
Yes, it did. It did. Do you have any more comments or thoughts about holiday beauty, which we kind of threw in here and there?
I'm sorry, how you broke up for a second. How you what?
I said, do you have any more thoughts or comments on Holiday Beauty, which we kind of threw in throughout the tonight conversation?
Holiday Beauty, first of all, the thing that I have to say is makeup is an accessory.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to look at it that way, and you have to look at what you're wearing and what your other accessories are. This is a common problem I find with people. Old rule of thumb, very Chanel-esque, Mademoiselle Coco said, you know, before you leave the house, take one accessory off. So the thing is, you don't wear big earrings and a big necklace, right? Well, the thing is,
mm-hmm.
if you're wearing a very, very intense outfit, you're wearing something really extravagant and sparkly and fabulous, you've got to look at your makeup. It can't be that over the top because you are going to look kind of cartoonish. You've got to learn, like I saw this, and I always relate, I always go back to this. I remember this recently in Vogue, there was a Ralph Lauren ad, and there was this gorgeous, gorgeous blonde woman. Her hair was pulled back beautifully, and she was wearing this beautiful, completely gold bugle beaded tuxedo jacket. Completely. I mean, it was just gorgeous, gorgeous. Her makeup was so simple and refined. She had just slight shading on the eye and a dark liner, you know, like just a smart, smart line and some lashes and a red lip, and that was it. The makeup was minimal. It wasn't all glitzy. It wasn't because the outfit was all glitzy. So the makeup was, again, elegant, but it wasn't big. You understand
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? So what I'm
yeah.
telling people, when you look at your outfit that you're wearing to that party, to that event, to that whatever, and then decide, it's like, what level does my makeup have to go to and my hairstyle have to go to complement the outfit and not overtake it? Or
mm-hmm.
if you're wearing a simple, plain black dress, you know, or a basic black, gorgeous, you know, evening dress, then you can play with the makeup because what you have is you have a very neutral background. Once you start playing with textures, patterns, you know, bugle beads, glitter, sparkle, spangles, sequins, all this other stuff, you've got to be very careful with your makeup. You can't get out of control. You could still make it evening worthy or party worthy. You just got to be really careful about where you take it. If you look, honestly, if you look in the mirror and you see to yourself, wow, this is a little much, take some off, get the baby wipe, take some off. Because other people, if you're saying it to yourself in the back, and this is the thing, listen to the little voice in your head. If in the back of your mind you're saying to yourself, wow, this is a lot, other people are going to say, oh, God, that was a lot. Because they're thinking what you're thinking. And they're not going to be as kind as you are to yourself. So, you know, editing eye. Actually, that brings us full circle. This is, again, the editorial edge class I'm doing in January in L.A. This is what it's
mm-hmm.
about. It's about having an editing eye. Look at the total picture and make it balanced. Because when you get that, then people look at you and go, God, you look gorgeous, as opposed to, oh, your makeup looks great. Oh, I love your jacket. Oh, pretty hair. It's like, no, you want them to look at the overall picture and say, you look amazing.
Right.
So that's my big thing about Holiday. And also, color. Guys, please, a little bit of color. I mean, I'm tired of all this black and gray. Really? Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian. You all drinking? Drink. No,
just a little
bit of color. And the other thing is, don't be afraid of color, guys. I mean, it's something you shouldn't do. If you want to try something new and something bold, and I mentioned this, I did Felicia Walker Benson's show, The Sad Beauty, and we were talking about bold color. I said, take a bold color eyeshadow and put it on your lid only first. That's the first thing you do. Put the bold color on the lid and then start layering on your liner, your contour, whatever. By the time you're finished, you will have dampened down that bold color enough so that it becomes an accent. And that's
mm-hmm.
the only accent you wear. And then you keep the lip neutral, the rest of the face pretty neutral, and that becomes your feature. But you started out with that bold color. Or if you're totally terrified of color, take a bright or really beautiful jewel tone eyeliner and use that to do your smoky eye as opposed to doing a charcoal or a black or a dark brown. Do a beautiful royal purple. Do a beautiful blue. Do a gorgeous green. You know, a beautiful forest green. I mean, you know, do one of these colors instead to do that quote-unquote smoky liner. It'll add interest. It'll modernize it. It'll make you look different and, well, I don't want to say better than everyone else, but, of course, you will look better. So there.
Are you doing anything special for the holidays?
Me, no, but family. Always family. I've got elderly parents. I'm knocking on wood. I'm knocking on my head right now. My dad is 89. My mom is 86, and
oh, wow.
they're still around. So basically, it's a given. It's like I don't know how many holidays I'm going to have with them. So I am spending every last one I can with them. So yeah, it's going to be family for holidays this year.
Very nice. Very nice.
So what are you guys doing for the holidays?
Family.
There you go.
Spend time
go.
With family. That's what we always do. Yep. And we enjoy that. You know what I mean? Like, we wouldn't want to be doing anything else. So it should be fun. It should be fun. Thank you so much.
Are we done? Is that it? Are we finished? We
went, yeah,
we're,
yeah.
10:20, we went over.
Yeah, we went over. We went over. I mean, we could talk even longer, but I figured I'd probably give you a break.
It's all good, though, baby. You know me. I'm like, I could just yak forever. It's like, you know, verbal diarrhea, kids. What can I tell you?
Well,
but it's
listen,
all fun.
Since you can yak, let me just ask one more question before you go. You know, because there's a lot of talk about this. What are your thoughts about L'Oreal and Urban Decay?
I'm good with it. I am. I'm actually good with it. But, I'm gonna try to edit slightly and be a little politically correct here, even though you know I have no edit button.
Right.
L'Oreal tends to buy companies and let them do what they do. There are so many companies that they own that you wouldn't even realize they owned because there was never a hiccup in transition. I mean, I laugh because people are like, "What do you mean L'Oreal owns Kiehl's?" Yeah, L'Oreal owns Kiehl's. It's like, you know, and or L'Oreal owns SkinCeuticals and L'Oreal. They're like, really? It's like, yeah, actually they do. But the thing is, the brands did not, their basic DNA and the way they do business and the products they put out and the way they present themselves did not change visibly or at least that much visibly when they were acquired by L'Oreal. Do you understand what I'm saying? I say that. Same thing with LVMH. LVMH buys a company. Very rarely will you even realize that they bought the company because they buy companies because they're successful and they let them do what they're doing because they're successful, as opposed to other large corporations, which will remain nameless, who buy companies and then homogenize them and turn them into the same thing with a different name. It's the same marketing strategies. It's basically you can see it. It just happens. And, you know, more power to them. I just feel bad for the consumers because, you know, it's all the same pablum and there's no diversity, which makes me a little crazy. But, you know, the thing is I'm not worried about L'Oreal at all. I'm really not. I think that they're going to leave the brand alone. They're going to let it do it. What's going to be nice is there's going to be a lot more capital behind it.
Right.
You know, so it's going to actually allow them to do things that they haven't been able to do so far. And the company's changed hands so many times. I'm kind of interested in the fact that though LVMH did own it for a short time, they must be kicking themselves in the ass for letting it go.
Right.
They've got to be because, you know, it's like, really, guys, did you not realize what the cachet of this company was back then? Actually, you know, the thing is, I think they owned it at the same time that they owned Makeup Forever. Or did they? Wait.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember now. No, they didn't actually. Or did they? I gotta look back in my files. It's such a quirky brand. It's got such an interesting DNA. It's got this whole rock and roll kind of vibe to it.
I've always
loved
it.
You know, it's kind of cool and it's kind of funky and it's kind of wild, and I love it because they've been very irreverent and they've never like conformed. It's never been pro. I mean, let's be honest. Urban Decay has never been a pro makeup line, and quite honestly, this whole naked palette bullshit, I mean, I'm sorry, I keep on using that word. I'm not going to get so yelled at for that. But, I mean, it's like it was a bunch of neutral colors with shimmer. That's not naked. Naked people aren't shimmery, unless you're a vampire and you're doing the movie Twilight. I mean, that's when you're shimmery. That's the only time you're shimmery. So, yeah, these naked, quote-unquote, palettes, I mean, that was ridiculous, you know. But, no, but they've got quirky things. That the potion stains I used to love. And, I mean, there were some eyeshadows that I would just go apeshit over. They were just, like, so gorgeous and fun. I mean, they had colors and textures way before we had, like, you know, Sugar Pill and Lime Crime and all these other brands right now. So, you know, and by the way, there are some other companies that I'm, like, watching out for that are going to be exploding. Lime Crime, for one, like, people, let me tell you something, there's a huge buzz going on with that company. So be on the lookout. That one's up and coming. Lumi B Skincare is getting a lot of buzz, a huge amount of buzz. Patcha, the people that make those fabulous blotting papers that I am, like, totally obsessed with, they're doing amazing skincare things. I mean, there's so many great indie companies. So when people say that indie companies are dying, they're so wrong. There's so many independent cosmetic companies. I mean, look, Whip Hand Cosmetics in Detroit coming out with, like, a primer better than anything else, in my opinion, on the market. I mean, out of Detroit. This is an indie company. So people that are out there screaming and complaining, like, independent cosmetics are dying. It's like, no, they're not. You know, it's just that these big conglomerates are realizing something's good, and instead of, okay, let's just make a parallel here. And I'm gonna get in trouble. Aveda was fabulous, and nothing else on the market was like Aveda. So Estee Lauder decided to come out with Origins to cash in on the Aveda client. Well, you know what? It didn't work because Aveda was the innovator. So what happened? They bought Aveda. But do you understand what I'm saying? The thing is, huge, large cosmetic companies are no longer developing their own brands. What they're doing is they're looking at the indies and they're absorbing them into their corporate umbrella. This has become the way that they do business in the new millennia. You don't see an Estee Lauder, you don't see a Lauder, you don't see a L'Oreal, you don't see an LVMH, you don't see a Coty coming out with brand new cosmetic lines that nobody knows about. What they do is they absorb in other cosmetic lines or new indies that have already started the ball rolling. So get used to this fact. It's not like, so Urban Decay got bought by L'Oreal. But you know what? Urban Decay was bought and sold three or four times before L'Oreal got a hold of it. So it wasn't like this is such a shock. You know, they were owned by an equity firm right now. They weren't even owned by a corporate, you know, a cosmetic company. They were owned by another corporation. So it's like, what was it? Stila also at one point. One or two owners back was owned by, you know, a private equity firm that was not in cosmetics. I think it's actually better if cosmetic companies are owned by cosmetic corporations because they have a better sense of how to run the business correctly. And the people that are running the ship understand cosmetics and they're not, like, just looking. Of course, they're going to look at the bottom line, but they're also going to look at the fact that, you know, they understand the industry. So I think it's a good thing.
Right.
That was a seven-minute answer. Look at that.
Yep, it did take. It took 7 minutes.
I'm sorry. Well, I just get off. I go off in these tangents, and I just totally forget. I'm sorry.
It's quite all right. We have to have you back more often. So, you know, between the different times you come back, we'll get it all in.
You know what? We'll just do this like once every 3 months, and we'll just get our picks.
Okay.
How do you like that?
Sounds good to me.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much.
I thank you, ladies, so much. And listen, you have an amazing, amazing, amazing holiday. Lots of happiness, lots of help, lots of love, lots of peace, lots of light. To everybody out there that remained listening to my babbling all this time, the same to you. Have an amazing holiday. Have a fabulous new year. And I guess I'll see you guys on the other side. Okay?
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye, guys.
Have a good night. Bye-bye. For those of you who enjoyed tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite here on Blog Talk Radio and join us again next week. And our guest next week is Donna May. So make sure you join us next Sunday at 9 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a good night and be blessed.